Whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we are thankful for another day to be alive, thankful for the strength and the health to get up out of the bed, to get ready and be able to get here to church today. Lord, I know sometimes we take those blessings for granted. I pray you'd forgive us. Help us to always be mindful that without you, we're nothing. And we can't even walk without you holding our hand. Lord, thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for your love and mercy, for all the ways that you provide our needs. Most of all, we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins to provide our greatest need. Thank you for salvation through your blood as a free gift. Lord, we do pray for others that we know, Lord, that would like to be here but just can't. We pray for them. Father, we are thankful to hear this good report about Miss Edna. We pray that you continue to bless her, continue to take care of her. Thank you for Miss Dolly and what she does for her. I pray you be with her, give her safety as she travels. Lord, please bless this message, this time we have together in your word. I pray you would help us to concentrate, to be alert, to be focused. Help us to receive what you have for us. I pray for your strength and grace and help as I try to preach. Help me to say exactly what you want said, nothing more, nothing less. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Two Sundays ago, I preached a sermon titled The Description of John 3:16. Last Sunday, I started preaching a message titled The Destruction of John 3:16. I told you in the introduction that this message takes somewhat of a different approach, a unusual, unorthodox approach to John 3:16. And I said that because in this message, I'm showing how John 3:16, in conjunction or along with other verses in the Bible, comes against many of the doctrines of devils and damnable heresies that are being propagated in our world today. Last Sunday, we looked at four of these. We talked, first of all, about atheism. Atheism is the belief that there is no God. John 3:16, like the Bible, begins with God. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." We then looked at polytheism, which is the extreme opposite of atheism. Atheism is the belief there is no God. Polytheism says there are multiple gods. But John 3:16 says, "For God," not gods, but "God so loved the world." The clear testimony of Scripture is that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We then talked about fatalism, which says that God is an impersonal force. He has no real connection, no concern for the things and the people that he created. But John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Scripture teaches that God is a God of love, that he cares for his creation, that he cares for the people that he created. We then finally looked at nationalism, which is the belief that God loves only one nation or one group of people. While we understand that God did choose one nation to be his chosen people, we also understand that when it comes to salvation, the Bible says he loved the whole world, not just one nation of people. Scripture says here, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." I want to finish up this message today by giving you a few more of these heresies that John 3:16 and other verses come against. I want to talk first of all this morning about materialism. Materialism really isn't a religion. It's more of an ideology. It's the idea that it is more blessed to receive than to give. It teaches that the one who dies with the most toys wins. It says, "Get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid." Materialism, as you can tell from the title, has to do with the material. It has to do with the accumulation of things down here, and it says that a person's value or self-worth depends on what they have. If they have certain things or they have a lot of things, that means they are successful, they are important. You see this practiced daily in our country. As you look around, you see how that people who are wealthy, who have a lot, are considered to be important. They're considered to be influential. They're considered to be authorities on different subjects. And they are placed on a level above people who do not have very much. Poor people are often relegated to some insignificant group of people who really have nothing to contribute to society or anything else. That is materialism. And that is something that John 3:16 and the Bible comes against. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who said that a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things he possesses. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that said, beware of covetousness. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who said that we are to lay up treasures in heaven instead of laying up treasures down here on this earth. It is also Jesus who said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? People put such a premium on material things and acquiring wealth. And a lot of people think, I guess, that if they have a whole lot of stuff, it's going to determine their outcome in eternity. But here is reality. When you came into this world, you came with nothing. And when you leave this world, you will leave with nothing. It does not matter how much you accumulate down here. You won't take one red cent with you when you leave this world. And I can promise you, you will not use your money and your power to influence God and favor your way into heaven. If you gain everything this world has to offer and you die without Jesus Christ, you are lost for all eternity. So what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Absolutely nothing is what it will profit him. But I want you to look right here at John 3:16, talking about how this verse comes against materialism. It says, for God so loved the world that he what? That he gave. Materialism is about getting, it's about gain, it's not about giving. It's about you being selfish and focusing on yourself and acquiring all the temporal material things that you can. But one thing the Bible clearly shows again and again and again is the fact that God is a giver. As a matter of fact, God sets the precedent for giving. In this verse right here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God sets the precedent for giving. You see here that God gave the greatest gift that anybody could possibly give. Think about it now. God gave his only begotten son. That's how much he loved the world. It says, for God so loved. How much did he love the world? How much did he love the people that he created and put on this earth down here? He loved them so much that he gave. God is a giver. He gave his only begotten son. God is not just out to get. God is a giver. He's not just a taker. He's a giver. Have you ever met those kind of people? They're just takers. That's the best way I know to describe them. They're just takers. It's just take, take, take. It's all about what people can give them. It's all about what people can do for them. But what God wants is people to be givers. Whatever God entrusts into our lives, he wants us to use those things to be a blessing to others. Amen? I think back to Abraham early on. God makes that covenant with him and he says, I'm going to bless you. Do you know why God said he was going to bless Abraham? So Abraham could then be a blessing to other people. Do you understand this morning? God doesn't give to you so that you can be stingy and keep everything for yourself. God invests into our lives so that we can then invest into the lives of others. God sets the precedent in giving. He gave his only begotten son. The Bible also says he giveth to all life and breath and all things. There as you sit in that pew this morning, as you breathe in your lungs, do you know who gives you that breath? God gives you that breath. Without the Lord, you could not even draw that breath into your lungs. He gives to all life and breath, the reason we live and move and have our being, is because of God, because He's a generous, giving God. That's the kind of God we serve. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. This same chapter, John chapter 3, the Bible says a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. God is a giver. John 3:16 in the Bible comes against materialism. I got to move on because I have several of these that I want to try to finish up this morning. Not only materialism, I want to talk secondly this morning about Mohammedism. Mohammedism. Obviously, this is the religion that focuses on Muhammad. He's the main person in this religion. And there's so much that could be said about this false religion, but one of the main things that Mohammedism teaches is that God has no son. That's one of the main things that it teaches, that God has no son. This verse here, John chapter 3:16, along with many other verses in the Bible, clearly shows that God has a son. Time and again in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is called the Son of God, is He not? Right here in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." As you look on down, look at the very next verse. Verse number 17, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." That goes back to what we talked about earlier on when we were talking about nationalism. It says in verse 17, "God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Verse number 18 says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Look down at verse number 35, same chapter. "The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hand." Notice there again the benevolence of God. We just talked about how God's a giver. When God the Father sent God the Son into this world, the Bible says in verse 35 that the Father gave to His Son. You see that? It says in that verse, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand." Verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." The Bible clearly teaches that God has a Son. You know who He is? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Here's something interesting about John 3:16. You might or might not know this. John 3:16 has a total of 25 words. If you count it up, it's got 25 words. You know what the middle word is in John 3:16? The middle word in John 3:16 is Son. It's got 12 words before it and 12 words after it. Right in the middle of the whole thing is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why I believe that's significant? I believe it's significant because this verse here is a verse about salvation, how God wants people to be saved. And here is reality. Reality is there is no salvation without the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about salvation, salvation itself and everything, and there's so much as you read on through the Bible, you read all of the different things that are associated with salvation, things that happen in our lives the moment that we receive Christ as our Savior. And these are things that most of us have no clue about at the time we accept Christ. Most of us at the time we accept Christ, we just realize we're lost on our way to hell and we don't want to go there, and we put our faith in Christ and we get saved. But as we grow and read our Bible and learn, we see that there's so much more involved in salvation than just the fact that we're not going to hell. There's redemption and justification and all those wonderful things. We get put in God's family. We get put in the body of Christ. There's so much in that. But here is what we all got to understand. Everything about salvation revolves around the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You take the Son out, there is no salvation. So Mohammedism is wrong when it says God doesn't have a son. Number three, I want to move on and give you a third one. John 3:16 comes against materialism, Mohammedism. Number three, I want to talk about Calvinism for a little while. Calvinism. This was something that was started by a man named John Calvin many, many years ago. John Calvin was a man who came up with this idea that before the foundation of the world, God elected certain people to salvation and he damned the rest. And he came up with this word. It's a word called TULIP, T-U-L-I-P. It's a word that he used as an acrostic to describe the different things that he believed. T is total depravity. U is unconditional election. L is limited atonement. I is irresistible grace. And P is perseverance of the saints. But in a nutshell, what all that amounts to is that before the foundation of the world, God in his sovereignty made a choice. And he said, I'm going to save this group of people, and they're not going to be able to resist my salvation. I'm going to deal with them. It's not going to be a matter of their will. Their will is depraved. They're not going to have any say in it. I'm going to save them, and when they get born again, their will become alive, and they'll be able to do things then. But it's an unconditional election. He says that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, died only for that group that God elected, and that those people will be saved for eternity, and the rest of the folk on this earth, God help them, they're just going to die and go to hell. He damned the rest of them. That's what Calvinism says. And I want to go on record this morning and say that is a damnable heresy straight from the pits of hell is what that is. I do believe that God made a choice. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible, look at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation is a whosoever salvation. I told you before, that's one of the great things. It was one of the things I love about it. Whosoever is one of my favorite words in all the Bible. Salvation is not just for a group of people that God foreordained before the foundation of the world. And the rest of the people are damned. Listen, it says in verse 16, for God so loved the world. When Jesus Christ came down here, he didn't just die and shed his blood for a select group of people. He died and shed his blood for the whole world. That's the testimony of the Bible, which means that the sins of the whole world have been paid for. And because of that, whosoever will put their faith in Jesus Christ will be saved. That's what salvation is about. There's not a group of people walking around on this earth now that are damned and have no hope of heaven when they leave this world. Anybody that lives on this planet can have salvation. Doesn't the scripture say that Christ died for the sins of the whole world? Doesn't it say he tasted death for every man? Isn't that what it says? That's what the scripture says. Calvinism is a lie from hell. John 3:16 and many other places in the Bible teach that anybody who will put their faith in Jesus Christ will be saved. Here's another one that I want to talk about. This is very important. This is called pluralism. Pluralism. This is the teaching, the idea that all religions are equal. That they're all equal. That one's just as good as the other. That all a person has to do in their life if they want to go to heaven or some great place in the afterlife, is find them a religion. It does not matter which one they choose. Just find them a religion and embrace that religion and do whatever it says in that religion has to be done. And when they die, they'll be all right. That's pluralism. That's why the title is pluralism, like plural as opposed to singular. Singular would say something along these lines. Singular would say, there's only one way to go to heaven. Pluralism would say that's a lie. There are many ways to God. I remember, it's been a number of years ago now, I don't even remember why I was watching it. Honest to God, I don't know what happened to me that day. I really don't. I was watching the Oprah Winfrey Show. I don't know, I must have had a temporary moment of insanity or something like that. I don't know. I don't even know why I was watching. I don't even remember why I was watching it. But I heard out of her own mouth that day. She's a pluralist, by the way. That's what she is. That's what she believes. She said out of her own mouth, because they were having a discussion about different religions on her program. Perhaps that's why I was paying attention to it. They were having a discussion about that, and everybody was getting to stand up and voice their own opinion and say how they felt about it and so forth. And this one poor soul stood up and had the audacity on national television to say that he believed there was only one way to heaven. She shut him down immediately. The whole group of people laughed at him and mocked him, made light of him, and she said, there are multiple ways to get to God. That's what pluralism says. Pluralism says that if you say there's just one way to heaven, you're narrow-minded. You're bigoted. And that you need to be broad-minded, and you need to be tolerant, and you need to be accepting of all the religions of the world, because all of them are basically the same. You just pick out whichever one you like best. You do what it says and you'll be all right. That'll be your way to God. Well, can I go on record again this morning? I want to go on record again this morning by saying I'm one of those single, narrow-minded Christians that believes there's only one way to heaven. And the reason why I believe that is because that's what the Bible teaches. Look here in John chapter 3 and verse number 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I've heard people say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe, long as you believe. Well, I beg to differ. There's some things you can believe with all your heart and you'll still die and go to hell when you leave this world. If you want to go to heaven, you're going to go through Jesus Christ or you're not going to go. I know that's single-minded, I know that's narrow-minded, but I don't apologize for that. And just like I told you in Sunday school this morning, don't ever apologize for the truth. A person that embraces a religion that causes them to do something other than put their faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation has embraced something that's not going to get them to heaven, but's going to damn their soul to an eternity in hell. And that's the truth. That's what the Bible teaches. Is it not Jesus Christ who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Isn't that what he said? Jesus said, I'm the only way. He said, if you want to get to the Father, you'll come through me, or you won't get to the Father. Listen, the only hope of heaven anybody has is Jesus Christ. You trust him or you'll die in your sins and go to hell. It does not matter how devoted you are to a religion. And let me say this. There are people, I have talked to them. I have seen them. There are people in this world right now that are far more devoted to their religion than many of us Baptists are to what we say we believe. They're willing to be more dedicated and more faithful to what they believe than what we say we believe. I mean, they're in all the way up to the ears. They do everything that their religion tells them. They're very dedicated. The problem is they're dedicated to the wrong thing. And their mindset is, if I just do and do and do and do everything that my religion says, I'm going to be all right. Listen, they're not going to be all right, because there's only one way to heaven, and that's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't trust him, you'll go to hell. It doesn't matter how sincere you are. I've heard people say that before. Well, these people are so sincere in what they believe. If they don't believe what the Bible says, you know what? They're sincerely wrong. It doesn't matter how sincere you are if you're sincerely wrong. You can believe something with all your heart, but if it's wrong, then you're believing what's wrong, and it's not going to do you any good. You can believe with all your heart, I don't have to have oxygen to stay alive. You know what you'll do if you stop breathing? You'll die, friend. It doesn't matter how much you believe it. What matters is believing what is right. And what the scripture says is you'll believe in Jesus Christ or you won't go to heaven when you leave this world. I'm telling you, not all religions are the same. They're not even close to the same. And God, contrary to popular opinion, does not accept and put his approval on all religions. How about this, for example? Let's go all the way back to the first two boys that were on this earth down there, first two children that were on this earth. Y'all remember their name? You have Adam and Eve, and they had two boys named Cain and Abel, didn't they? Both of those boys believed in God, didn't they? Both of them believed in God. Neither one of them were atheist. Neither one of them were polytheist. They didn't believe in multiple gods. Both of them believed in God. Both of them were religious people. They brought offerings to the Lord. Isn't that what the scripture says? So they were religious people. Whenever Abel comes to God with his offering, you know what he brings? The Bible says that he picks the firstlings of his flock. You know what he did when he got ready to offer something to God? He goes out and number one, he gets the very best he's got, the firstling. He gets the very best that he's got out of his flock. And he brings that lamb, the blood of that lamb, as an offering to God. Whenever Cain shows up with his offering, you know what he brings? He brings him a basket of vegetables because he was a tiller of the ground. That's what he brought. You ever heard the old saying, you can't get blood from a turnip? Y'all heard that before? You know where that comes from, that idea comes from? That comes right out of your Bible. You can't get blood from a turnip. Whenever these two fellas come to God bringing their offerings, did God accept both of them? Read your Bible. Did he accept both of them? Both of them religious. Both of them brought their offering, but God did not accept both of them. He didn't say, well, you both doing the best you can. You both have your own ideas and your own opinions about how to approach me, so I'll just accept both of you. No, the Bible says he had respect unto Abel's offering, but he had no respect unto Cain's. He did not accept what that guy brought. You know why he didn't accept that? Because there was no blood in his offering. That's why. He brought what was the fruit of his own hands, his own labor, his own work to God. That's what he offered the Lord. I'm bringing you the very best that I can do. The Bible says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the eyes of God. If on the day of judgment, all you got to offer God is the best you can do, I'm telling you, you'll go to hell, friend. It ain't about the best you can do. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're not washed in him, you're not saved, and you're not going to heaven when you leave this world. All religions are not the same. The only ones that God will put his approval on are the ones that honor his son, Jesus Christ, as the only way to heaven. That's the only ones. Pluralism. I got two more. Got to hurry. Universalism. This is important too. Universalism. I can't believe that some people believe these things, but they really do. Universalism says that ultimately everyone is going to be saved. That's why it's called universalism. Like everybody in the whole universe, everything, everybody is one day going to wind up saved. You know what it does? It denies the existence of hell and the lake of fire. It says nobody's going to hell. Nobody's going to wind up in a place. There's no such place because a God of love would never create anything like that. And ultimately, everybody is going to wind up saved and in heaven. That's why you hear people say things now that it's just ridiculous. You hear people say things like, well, we're all God's children. Y'all heard that business before? We're all God's children. Well, I beg to differ. That's not what the Bible says. If you're not saved, I'm being real narrow-minded this morning, ain't I? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If you're not saved, you're not God's child. You're not in God's family. The Bible says there's two fathers. There's God the Father and then the devil. If you're lost this morning, the devil is your father. See, I don't believe that. I don't care if you believe it or not. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That's the truth of the Scripture. And the Bible clearly teaches that not everybody's going to be saved. People say, believe whatever you want to. We're going to all wind up in the same place in the end after all. Y'all heard that before? That's universalism is what that is. We're just going to all wind up in the same place. And you know what they always say? They don't all say we're going to all wind up in hell. They don't say that. They say something positive. You know how you know that something is wrong? When everything about it is positive. That's how you know it's wrong. Because the Bible is not all positive, is it? It's not all positive. There's positive and there's negative. But people always say we're going to all wind up in the same place. We're going to all wind up in heaven. No, 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 we're not. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that go therein at, but broad is the way to destruction, and many go in there. Isn't that what he says? Here's something, I don't like this, but it's the reality of Scripture. There's going to be more people in hell than there ever will be in heaven. Broad is that way. And people are just pouring into that. People are dying by the hundreds of thousands every day and going off into a place that many of them say they don't even believe in. I don't believe in hell. Jehovah's Witness. You know what they call them? People call Jehovah's Witness no-hellers. That's what they call them. because their idea is nobody's going to go into hell and burn forever and ever. Universalism says everybody's going to get saved. Not everybody's going to get saved. Notice what the scripture says here in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what happens if you don't believe in him? You perish. Now, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he sent his Son, so nobody would have to go to hell. But the reality is that people who die without Christ go to hell. Do you know that the person in the scripture who talked more about hell than anyone else is the Lord Jesus Christ? He said more about hell than anybody. Matter of fact, he said more about hell than he did heaven. Jesus did. More about hell than he did heaven. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15 says that whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. Not everybody will be saved. Only those who put their faith in Jesus Christ will be saved. Look right here. Look at verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. You see that? You don't believe on Jesus Christ, you will not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Without Jesus Christ, there's only the wrath of God. That's it. Last thing I want to give you, and I could have picked a number of isms here, but I didn't have time to get into all of them. But many would fit into this, so I just picked one. I picked Arminianism. This is the extreme opposite of Calvinism. That's why I picked it. The founder of this back in the 17th century was a fellow named Jacobus Arminius. And he started this to come against Calvinism because he didn't agree with John Calvin. He came up with his own ideas. And one of the things that he said in his teaching is that a person can lose their salvation. John Calvin said because God picks you and God saves you, then you can't ever lose your salvation. That much I do agree with. I don't believe you can lose your salvation. But Jacob Arminius said this. He said if you can will your way into Christ, then you can will your way out of Christ. If you have a free will and a choice and you can choose Jesus, then you can choose at some point to get out of Jesus. Again, the problem with that logic is it just simply does not line up with the Word of God. I talk to people all the time who try to take a logical approach to the Scripture. Sometimes, let me tell you something, the Bible does not line up with logic, okay? And when it doesn't line up, what is right is the Scripture, and you have to believe what the Bible says. And people say that you can lose your salvation. You can get in, you can get out. We've talked about it before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. But here's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, what is that? Listen to me, folks. I am not in any way the sharpest tool in the shed. You hear me? But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what the word everlasting means, does it? Does it? Everlasting. How long is everlasting? Lasts forever, doesn't it? Everlasting. Now let me ask you this, real simple. If I could get saved and then get lost and die lost, is that everlasting life? Is it? That's life that lasted just until I got lost again. And that's not what the Bible says God gives. He does that. You know what that would be? That would be temporary life. You'd get life until you blew it, and then you wouldn't have life anymore. What the Bible says is that God gives everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift, he's a giver, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for letting us be here. Thank you for the Word of God and the truth. Lord, if there's here a person here today that's not saved, I pray, Lord, that you would show them from your word their need for Jesus Christ. Before they leave here, I pray they'd be under such conviction that they'd have to call on you for salvation. Lord, I pray that you would have your way now in this time of invitation, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Scott.